Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. It is Monday night. We're ready. We are ready, 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 ready to piss people off. Welcome to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here at Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the king of king himself, the man who always have a plan. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
The other person that actually has the real plan, Sean Black, in the building once again.
And on the other line, I have the lovely and talented, terrific Tisha.
Good night, guys. I'm a little under the weather, so.
Yes, it's allergy season for most of us, and I've been sneezing and farting and passing gas like crazy.
Oh, okay, well, you didn't
do that
need to know all of that.
So that has nothing to do with the weather. That's just.
Well, I'm an old man. What can I say? Oh, well. The number to call is for your requests or thoughts or comments or to tell me how much I passed gas too much time. It is 347-989-8402. All right, guys. Are you ready to talk about the craziness that's happening in the world today that's making everybody gone crazy?
Well, why not? We usually piss people off, so might as well continue.
Oh, yeah. On a side note, two things. I just love how people tune into the show. I thank them all the time. And the comments they leave about the show, some positive, some negative. Mm-hmm. And Sean Black, Tisha, we'd be a shocker that pissed a lot of people off for the last few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Hey, and you know what? I'd like to apologize to the people that have pissed off or didn't believe in my comments. If you got upset before, trust me, I'm going to get you really upset tonight, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. So tune in for that. But, and plus Max, plus Sean had a plug in Max blog.
It is realissues.blogspot.com. And this is with our friend Max, who does his own blog, talks about positivity, solutions to certain problems, issues in relationships, maybe health, maybe job relations, those kinds of things that happen, brings it up. And it's a very good blog to go to. I guess it's realissues.blogspot.com, and check it out.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
you
before
go.
We go, before we go to our major topics, this morning I sent to Tisha and Sean Black a little story to make them laugh a little bit. Last year, I remember ESPN, the company, had laid off a lot of people. They do this almost every year for various reasons. But this layoff caught my attention and made me laugh to the fullest. I began to start crying. Ex-ESPN reporter Britt McHenry on Twitter over the weekend claims that she was let go of the company because she made too much and because she was white. Now, like I said, when I read the story, I started dying laughing. Can Tisha and Sean, do you ever recall a story in your lifetime that someone got let go, especially a high paid position, because he or she is white?
You want me not to answer? I'm just like,
I'm still recalling. I'm just recalling all of those stories that were put on that were Pulitzer Prize winning articles about the plight of the white man and the white woman in America when it comes to jobs. I can't seem to find that particular subject.
Yeah, you know, I just bring this up because it shows once again the problem with racism in this country. How, you know, you have this person, this lady, who's trying to play the race card, but trying to use it towards her advantage. Like, I could say I have never heard someone who's white got laid off because he or she is white. And it's like, that's something you never heard of before. Has it happened? Maybe. Well, you never know. But it won't be. Is it something that one in a billion chances that might happen? And do you agree?
I can see if there was an African-American who had some sort of issue with Caucasians, maybe something in their lifetime that they had, and they were harboring some sort of dangling, as they say, the sword of Damocles over somebody that they knew they could have power over, and they did that. I could probably see something like that happening, but there's a good possibility that that has not happened, at least not to my knowledge. And if it did happen, in the society that we live in, it would be very hard for someone to prove. Now, can you be racist and black? Of course you can.
Of course.
You can be racist and Asian. You can be racist in any race that you are. But to prove it in the society that we're in, that we are in now, and to say that as a Caucasian who for the most part has many more opportunities in certain in pretty much everything that this country has to offer over other minorities, I can't see that being something that would have actually happened. And if it did, it would be probably just as major in a lot of instances.
Well, well.
Yeah, and then she can't, like, play the race card in that situation. It's just like I said to Hot Rod earlier, you can't be privileged and then want to play the race card. Like, this is not something funny. Maybe she got fired because she wasn't doing her job right. And maybe that's something that she chose to say, oh, okay, they played the race card, so let me retaliate. Maybe. But I've never heard a situation like this.
Yeah, especially since she's on, if you remember, she's recorded, it went on the internet years ago, I think it was like maybe 2 years ago, where she went to a towing company to ask an employee about something. There was a big disagreement, and she was talking about, do you know who I am? Do you know who you are?
Yes,
she was
yes,
saying all bunch
about,
of garbage,
yeah.
And that's what got her name in lights. It had nothing to do with her reporting. It had everything to do with the fact that she
so maybe it's her
somebody.
Attitude. Maybe it's just
okay.
her attitude then. It could be they got
okay.
her fired.
So, Tisha, let's switch it around. Will you believe if she said she got fired because she's a woman? Will you believe that story?
I don't think it has anything to do with a woman or if you're white or if you're black. I think it may have been her attitude from hearing, you know, what Sean Black just explained and reminded us about years ago. Mm-hmm. It could have been just maybe her boss got tired of, we don't know how many times she may have gotten written up and things like that. Don't forget you get a first warning, then you write up and so forth. So we don't really know the whole story. She's just giving part.
And as always, social media blow up like everything else. And talk about social media. I don't know if the rest of the world have been following the crazy stuff that happened in America. Racism has been going on for millions of years. It's no secret. We talk about it on the show all the time. But it seems like lately, and Sean and I have discussed this all the time, there's always been a trending going on in America. Cop killing's been trending. Kanye West been trending. If something bad happens, something else is trending. Now, lately, it seemed like they've been, like, racism have been gone to a new level, or maybe there's a level that's been out there and that we've probably seen it for ourselves. Like, perfect example, like, just over the weekend, the University of Florida had apologized to a bunch of graduates who was ushered and yanked off the stage over the weekend as they danced to celebrate their achievement during the commencement ceremony. Basically, you have a couple of black students who are receiving their diploma, doing their dances that they did from their clubs or whatever, got yanked off by a white person, quote unquote. You see on the video. Now, Tisha, you sent me the story this morning. What is your thoughts about that? Do you think this was an overreaction or something could have been done differently?
Now, first I watched the full footage of the video, and there was also white kids, Hispanics, and I think two Asians that also did the same thing. Even one white kid did a big flip and everything. He was nice and extra with it. Now, you're at your graduation. Of course, it's going to be a lot of emotions. This is a great time. You worked hard. All of these kids, it's not like they were up there for too long doing whatever dances and so forth. They had a right to celebrate. So the way that I don't remember, it wasn't the president of the college, I forgot who it was, but the way he ushered them off was as if he was a bouncer at a club, which was too much. And someone from the college, you know, apologized and so forth and said, you know, they, like, did a little bit too much, obviously, because, of course, now the news, this caught the news media attention. They were very, very aggressive with those two black kids versus everybody else that did just about the same thing. Now, you asked about racism. Racism is not going anywhere. I feel like we have an even longer way to go with this, because as the decades change, so does the trends with it change, and it's getting ridiculous. And right now I feel like who's going to take control of this should be our president if he's not focused on other things. But, you know, he kind of gets it all riled up as well, and I'm not even going to go into that because I don't feel like talking about Trump on this topic. But my point is, when does it stop, and who brings us together? You understand what I'm saying? Who brings us together?
Do you see this as a form of racism or prejudice, or just, once again, just spare the moment, let me just attack the black kids because of fear? But there's a difference between racism and fear and prejudice.
Why? Racism and fear sometimes go hand in hand because certain people act a certain way towards black people due to the fact that, okay, they believe the hype of what they heard about us. You understand? And judge everybody as that one person. So from them even apologizing, they've seen where the error, you know, the error was, and I respect them for that. So moving forward, I think that college, hopefully, at the next commencement, they won't allow something like that to happen.
And this is where it's going to really stink about this whole entire ordeal. You have parents who have spent probably upwards of $100,000. These are all undergrads kids that are graduating at this commencement ceremony. You spend, on average, because the average amount of money that any student spends off campus at the University of Florida is $26,000. They spend all of that money going into the school, and you're going to tell me because you have like 1,000 people graduating or 2,000 or however amount of people are there, you're going to usher them off as if they were some sort of, like you said, like bouncer at a club. What I take umbrage with in this entire situation is the fact that there, like you said, there were white kids doing the dance number, et cetera. One person even tweeted that there was a white kid that was up on stage for 45 seconds. 45 seconds, and nothing was done. But yet you see the images of the African-American kids that were up there because of their sororities and their fraternities doing their dance numbers that is supposed to give a little bit of idea and respect to their respective clubs. It's ridiculous. And what I want to see is now the lawsuits that will be coming in based on all of this. And what makes it worse, the president of the college was actually there at the commencement and did nothing at the time. His name is Ken Fuchs. He was there. He's the one that issued the apology afterwards.
Okay,
he was there and did
nothing. Excuse me, I have 718-877. You're on the air on Blog Talk. Hello?
Hello?
877, are you there? Okay, I'll put you on hold. And let me know when you're ready to talk. Thank you for holding. Yes, Sean, continue.
Yeah, and I think that what tends to happen, which gets forgotten in all of this, is the fact that the lasting memory of somebody going to a commencement to see their son or their daughter or family member graduate is supposed to be something joyous and memorable. How do you get that memory back if the person that's about to get their name said and shown on the giant Jumbotron, which is right there, and they get to see their son or daughter's back being yanked off the stage and pulled off as if they had stolen something and they were ready to be thrown into a paddy wagon? That's going to be a big issue of contention.
Okay, let me try this one more time. Hold on 1 second. Oh, caller, 877, you are on the air. Hello. Okay. All right, so back to the topic. And this is just only one of the many incidents that happened. There was another incident that happened on the Long Island Railroad that the video went viral. Sean, I'd like to talk about that video. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. This is one of the many times that we've seen this, and this is what prompted this topic, is that there was an African-American female on the LIRR last week, and basically it was a huge rant by some racist guy just spewing epithets left and right, going back and forth and basically saying all of the racist things you could think of. It was caught on video by one of the people sitting there. And what has happened is that I don't know where these outbursts come from, what brings these outbursts, but the person's name is Edward Ruggiero, and he's a stagehand in New York. And for whatever reason, he wanted this racial rant, and it was directed toward the female passenger. And going back and forth, it was caught on video, and I don't understand where this boldness has come from now, where we're seeing things happening in plain view. This is in the LIRR, Long Island Railroad train. We've seen racist rants happening in restaurants. We've seen them happening in street. We've seen them happening in other public places. This has become a trend based on the climate of our nation right now, where it seems to be that people that are in the places of power have emboldened people that don't have power, or people that do have power, depending on who you talk to, have emboldened those people to actually speak their true minds of how they really feel about any other race that is not theirs. And these are the results that you're starting to get much more often than not.
An incident with the LIRR that caught people's attention, I mean, he did not use the N-word, shockingly. But he did use a term like monkey. And monkey is always a reference as, you know, your ugly monkey or something like that. And he used terms like, you probably don't know who your mother is, or you don't know who your father is. Statements like that, saying that black people don't know their parents because there's no black parents out there. K-Dog is on the line right now. What was your intake about the guy? And do you think he was just angry, having a bad day, or just his pure racism was coming out in the light?
Well, first up, I got to say what's up to everybody. And watching that incident, watching the whole video, I mean, there was no need for him to be spewing that kind of racist tirade at that lady for just because you assume that someone was talking loud on the phone. Wasn't he wearing headphones?
And he was listening to his phone or something along those lines. At the
right.
Time. Yeah.
So how is she disturbing you if you have headphones in the end? And after for you to make some very disparaging remarks towards her, that was just wrong in itself. And, you know, what I got to say about this whole bit about racism is that from the very beginning of this country, I mean, racism is alive and well, and it's not just here in the United States, but it's all over that racism exists. It's a plague. It's not going anywhere. And like they always say, no one is born a racist, but how it comes from the household that they grew up in. I mean, if your parents are bona fide racist, you're going to raise a child to be racist. You understand what I'm saying? So this kind of thing doesn't shock me at all because, after all, here it is, it's 2018, and we're still talking about racism. I mean, it's not going anywhere. You understand? The only people that got to make changes is us. But what changes can there be if racism, if, you know, you continuously have people who are racist, they're going to raise their children to be racist, like I said before. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree with some of the points that you said, but racism is taught, but not necessarily from the parents. Racism could be taught from other friends, brothers, other family members, or the internet. It does not have to be just the parents. That part I have to say about that. But I do agree, racism is taught overall.
Yeah. Big
but,
time.
You said the guy had earphones. Maybe he was trying to listen to his music, and the person that was across was maybe too loud. Maybe that was a problem. That was sparking fire. for him, for overall, just because he yelled out those words, does that really make him a racist or just an angry individual?
Because, well,
hold on. Because, like I told Sean earlier, when we argue, I'm talking about in general. If I'm arguing with K-Dog and I'm upset with him, I will call him a Haitian booty scratcher. Or if I call Sean, you fake Jamaican, whatever. Does that make me a racist? Or I'm just using words to get to your head to make you more upset? Because I'm black,
but see,
black.
Those are your friends, and you can do that, especially if you know what. If you know what their background is, but you try to do that to somebody that you don't know in the street. Let's say a guy bumped you, and you call him a Haitian booty scratcher, and see what happens.
Wow. If I know the guy, because I know
that you don't know. You don't know him. That's my point.
Okay. If I saw a white guy, I'll call him a cracker. Does that make me a racist then? He is Caucasian, right? Or if I could tell that
think
he's
about
Irish.
It. How do you think he would respond, though? That's my point.
He would be upset. But would that make me a racist overall? That's what I'm saying. Because I call him the Irish pump, drunk son of a gun.
So what's our point of using these terms if it's not going to fall under, like, being racist or biased? I remember, like, back in the days, on All in the Family and stuff like that, they could have said, I think, was it Negro or Nigga? I don't remember which one. And George Jefferson was saying honky.
He was saying honky
like regular. But then you go out in the street and around that time. I remember being in, like, elementary school around that time. And you go calling a white person a honky, you're going to get smacked.
Yes, go ahead, Sean.
And I think there's always the perception that white people don't feel anywhere near as offended being called those words as an African-American being called the N-word, or an Asian-American being called any of the number of epithets that you hear, or Haitians being called their epithets. So when we hear these kinds of words and we associate anger, most people that are trying to get under somebody's skin will try to say the most hateful thing they can say.
Yes,
but
they can.
At the same time, there's a way that you know somebody is trying to make someone upset, and there's another way of knowing that somebody is trying to say something that they feel fits that particular race because of what and how it's said. It's not just necessarily saying, well, I'm just going to say it to piss the guy off. No, I say it because I mean it, and I hate your guts. Get out of my face. That's
exactly
the difference in tone.
Okay, so, Kato, if I see a gay person, and I'll say you come in your dress, whatever. If I call you the F word, faggot, or stuff like that, am I biased? Or am I just saying it to get to your skin, not knowing who you are?
You know who, okay, let's just say you could say it to be sarcastic. You could say it to be out of anger and just to be, pardon me if I say it, just to be ignorant. Because a bunch of people, when they're angry, they say things like they really, some people, you may agree with, you know, disagree with me, but here's what I see. When it comes to that kind of anger, you're saying exactly how you really feel about that person. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, how can I say how I feel about that person if, like, to just say, I don't know who you are? Compared to us personally, I could say a whole four things to each other, but we know our life, we know our story.
Because if you don't know if you don't know who the person is, it makes you look bad because, okay, like you said about gay people, you're going to say, okay, how do you know the person is gay that you're going to call him an anti-gay slur? That person will
feel
everybody.
And that's another thing. Why do we have to be mad, so mad that we have to go to that? I mean, you could use a curse word and just finish it off. You know what I mean? Listen,
when we use slurs, that is the ultimate insult. But that's the ultimate insult. That's what
when
you get.
But then it opens
right.
up a door.
But you know what? It doesn't have
doors.
To come to the point. It doesn't
well,
have to
sorry,
come to
guys.
The point where you're attacking the other person's ethnicity. Because when you attack someone's ethnicity, it makes you prejudiced. It makes you racist.
Yeah.
Because.
Okay. But
yeah.
I'm sorry. Just keep in mind when you're angry, emotions take over your soul. I'm not saying this is right. But you have to keep in mind, Sean, K-Dog, Tisha, how many times you go to the Chinese restaurant in Brooklyn and some black people, they get upset what are the things that they say towards an Asian man? You need to learn how to speak English. You're Asian or you're redneck or
yeah.
those names like that. Why? To get to their skin without even knowing the person. Insult
but
is
you know
worse,
what?
Words hurt. And that's why
it
words
doesn't
hurt
have to come
fit.
To that point.
It doesn't
because
but
you know what happens?
There's a difference between right and wrong and the way it is. That's why I've been
yeah.
fighting with Sean for years about that. I'm not saying it's right, but that's the way it is. People are not educated. But when you're upset, you can't help yourself. But to say certain things. Okay,
have,
okay, dog, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you just got to watch it. You just got to, you know, when you're, like I said, when you attack someone's ethnicity, if you go into an Asian restaurant and you call the Chinese person a slur, an anti-Chinese slur, it's going to make you look bad because they're going to look at you like, oh, you just being straight up prejudiced against Asians. And it's just as bad if you go ahead and say something to someone who is Latino and you say something a Latino slur, it makes you prejudiced against Latin Americans. And, of course, when someone goes on a rant, especially when the person is white, and they go on a rant against a black person, and you're calling them monkeys and all kinds of racist epithets, and no matter what you say, even though you say, oh, I'm not a racist, but yet it's, the stigma will stick to you, if you understand what I'm saying. So when you use any type of, whether it's racial or ethnic, it makes you look bad. You're going to look like the one that's prejudiced. You're going to look like a racist. No matter what, no matter if you say, "Oh, I'm not racist," but you're still gonna, it's still gonna stick to you because they're gonna be like, "Wow, that person's racist. That person's prejudiced." You know, you have to
Sean,
watch what you're saying.
And that usually filters into other facets of life, not even just in
mm-hmm.
arguments, but just in perception. I give you an example. A video was brought up over the weekend of something that happened 2 months ago in California, where a Hispanic man went into a convenience store to buy a pack of Mentos, and an off-duty cop pulled out his gun on him, thinking he was stealing
mm-hmm.
the Mentos.
Yeah.
Where did that idea, thought process come from? Because of one, probably one of those cops that has one of those hero complexes, thinking he's a badass, so to speak. But also
yeah.
number two is the fact that ideology of thinking that because he's a minority, he probably figured, you know what, he's in here, he's probably just going to steal something. Let me make sure that he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
exactly.
If you're in the process of buying something, where's the thought process going that he's stealing something, unless you had some preconceived notion that because of the person you're looking at, or maybe he was casing to look for somebody to start some trouble with, that was the case. These kinds of small systematic ideals that happen, not just with police, but also lawyers and other walks of life, and then filtering into your example, Hot Rod, of the argument of somebody getting into some sort of a verbal confrontation and throwing out the most racist, hurtful thing you could throw out there, it's almost a perceived notion going in. I've gotten into many arguments with people, and I have never once thrown out a racial slur at somebody
mm-hmm.
trying to get under their skin.
Yeah, right.
Me neither.
Because, one,
please.
I'm not that creative when it comes to trying to curse somebody out. But, number two, at the same time, it's also very, very lazy to go into. If you're going to really try to verbally spar with somebody, it's lazy to fall back on, oh, well, let me just go to. It's like
mm-hmm.
it's like arguing with somebody with big ears, and the first thing you go to, oh, that's why you look like Dumbo. Ha, ha, ha. Get a little more creative.
But,
right.
Sean, why are you like. Why are you lying to the people out there? You have used words. I hear you use the words. Use those words towards me. You told me that I came in a banana boat a few years ago. So how dare you?
Lord.
What? It's true.
Kick you in the banana boat, you say?
No. He said that. Sean Black said, me and my family came here in a banana boat from Haiti, you know. So Sean is
are
lying.
Are you actually
right
going to say something like that on air today? Oh, man.
Why not? About, hold on,
it's quick. The absolute truth. Let's let it go.
It's the absolute truth. This is what it's all about. 347.
All right, 347-228. You on the air?
Hey y'all, what's going on? It's Cheryl. I'm calling in.
What up,
you know, to always bless out. Just calling to give my support. I always, you know, I'm extremely busy, but I try my best to give support you know, to, you know, think that I know that of a good cause. And, you know, I just wanted to ask to fill me in very briefly, if you could, in a matter of five words or less, what the show is about, and then I can give my honest feedback.
Okay. Lately, there have been, like, racial outbursts on social media. For example, the LIRR situation, where the guys yell out terms to the black lady. You know that story, right?
No, who?
Cheryl. You know, mm-hmm. You know the story about the white guy on the LIRR train yelling stuff towards a black woman? Like, her full words, like, you look like a monkey. You don't know who your mother is. You don't know who the father is. Basically, they've been outbursts.
Well, I don't know of the recent story, but I've heard a story about that on the Long Island Railroad several times. So I'm not surprised. Mostly people that, and it's crazy that when you're from New York, you know how it beats. You know that's where the Italians are. You know, you don't want to be over there because they're extremely racist in Long Island. People coming from Long Island, a lot of them from, you know, they have some kind of Caucasian background.
Okay.
So it's expected. It's expected in the sense that, like, in Howard Beach, for example, you have people there that are very racist. So I know I wouldn't even go over there, and, like, my friends and my family wouldn't, because 9 times out of 10 is going to be some kind of slur, which was done actually on my way home from a bunch of guys riding from Howard Beach.
Okay. Well, Sean brought up this good point to me. I will bring it to you, Cheryl, K-Dog and Sean, and Tisha, excuse me. With all this trend of racial outbursts, during the Obama era, yes, there was racism. But do you feel because of Donald Trump is our president now, people feel, like, bold to say what's on their mind? They out in the open now to say it compared to 8 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, yes, they have.
I strongly believe that. And I've seen this done to people of not even a race, of religion, of sexual preference, of or whatever gender you want to classify yourself as. As long as you're different or diverse to the white population, is going to be some kind of suggestification. And then gentrification went up the roof. Like, New York is not New York anymore. It's like the flavor isn't there anymore. The soul isn't there anymore. The culture that we built and our parents built and our parents' parents, you know, it's disappearing. You know, because it's like, okay, we're going to go back in time, but we're also going to speed time ahead to saying, you know, they're making a statement, we're the majority, we got the majority sitting in the White House now. So, you know, we have much more of a leverage now. We don't have to be politically correct anymore. We don't have to hide behind, you know, social media, or just be quiet, you know, for fear of losing your job or career, or what have you. And it's
no filter, in other words.
Yeah, pretty much no filter.
Exactly.
But the example of our country is also no filter. Our president goes on his monthly rallies and things like that, get things riled up, and then you hear more and more things in the news media because people think that it's okay, we can do this. You understand what I'm saying? It seems like if our leadership would show a different side of things, maybe people will follow. But what's going on right now has a lot to do with the confusion at the White House. And it's, to me, everything seems like confusion. Racism
mm-hmm.
isn't going anywhere. And that's something that we have to understand. So what are we going to do to clean that mess up? We keep saying make America great. What are we going to do to clean it up?
We need to make our own community great first before we talk about the nation as a whole. Because
exactly.
We have to keep it 100. We kill each other. We diss each other. We don't care about our neighborhoods. They're already being taken over. We don't value we don't value unity. We are, I can speak as a woman of color that there is no unity with our group. You could go to any other ethnic group and they have some form of unity, whether it's in business, in religion, or education, or just standing up. You know, it's just like with Black Lives Matter, I don't buy it.
I don't know. And with that unity comes resources also. We're not provided the resources that we were provided 8 years ago as well. Certain resources are being taken away and being downgraded. What do you think happens when people get hungry and they need money? More robberies and things like that. Yes, we need to take care of our communities.
Well, it's just like the Black Panthers back in the day. They started the WIC program. They started, they did all kind of programs within the community, and they built it up. And, of course, it's systematically broken down when it came to drugs being purposely put in and drugs being the demise of the original Black Panther leader Huey Newton, which is very, very detrimental and sad. So it's kind of like, I feel what everyone is saying on it. It's just like we're not giving loans easily. We don't have that quick approval on certain things, you know, like getting property or just.
Yeah, and I agree with what you just said, Cheryl. You heard what you also just said, that Black Panthers started the WIC program and things like that, but then they threw the drugs in to, you know, kind of make us backtrack. What's going on right now that's making us backtrack in our communities, if you think about it? The shootings and things like that. You know what I mean? Certain things.
The moment
to me that we start protesting on certain things, you do see the backlash of that. So, I mean, that's always going to be like that once we try to move up.
I just don't think it's genuine, the protest. I really believe the civil rights movement was very sincere, and that's why it was as powerful as it was. I honestly think certain movements is orchestrated based off of what is going to be expected. I honestly don't even feel that is really drawn for the cause. It's just a decoration. It's a decorated lie.
Okay,
organization doing anything.
I have to give it to Sean Black now. Sean Black?
Well, also, if we're looking at the way that these organizations have been moved, the one thing that we can say about the Black Lives Matter movement that you brought up, it lost a lot of steam. If you remember, it was from 2013 on, from when Trayvon Martin was killed, and then all of the other things that have happened in the last 4 or 5 years have happened. We saw a lot of positive movement, you know, the riots in Baltimore and everything else. It seems to have died out a lot of steam, where we have a lot of the Me Too movement going on, and that's been getting a lot of the nonsense that has happened to women over the last few years. There are a lot of men that are finally getting their penance and are paying for the things that they've pretty much gotten away with. The Black Lives Matter movement seems to have stalled, and I think a lot of people, when they hear Black Lives Matter, they hear Black Lives Matter only. And that's where I think that the consternation from people that are into the Black Lives Matter movement is not like Black Lives Matter only matter. It's Black Lives Matter too. And that's when you had the Blue Lives Matter movement. And then you had all the other people know, well, every Lives Matter, and they're missing the point. So once we get a singular point, some sort of focus to where the activism is going, then I think a lot of African-Americans will probably think better about the movement and where it's going. And I'm pretty sure there's activism going on that we're not aware of. But as we've just stated, we don't hear about it as much, especially the website.
And that's what
that
I was
saying.
With
the website that happened in Australia, that somebody was redirecting money through getting T-shirts, et cetera, et cetera. So we hear certain things pop up here and there, but there doesn't seem to be a central focus with the movement
that
is being heard.
And that's
K-Dog?
Yeah. Well, with all that being said, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, I remember in 2014, I believe, Shirley and I remember this very clearly, that we went to a march that was going on. I remember that march. We marched all the way from Manhattan all the way to Brooklyn, and, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, it did matter. But then after, from where, the way I see it, it's kind of lost steam with all the other things that's going on. And with the civil rights movement, what the people in the civil rights movement did that we're not doing, you see, when there was a cause to protest about, they didn't just protest one day and then the next day business as usual. They kept that protest going, you know.
Okay.
But now these days, when we protest, especially when it comes to the police shooting or all kinds of, or any kind of form of racism, we protest one day. And this is my personal opinion, is that we don't keep the fight going. You understand? You got to push. If you want change, you gotta fight for it. You can't just do something one day and then after that, then the next day is business as usual. Whatever distractions that they throw at you, you fall for it. You know,
you know what else too? It's a stigma of fear that is going on. Look for a prime example. When people are flying in to the airport from different countries and the police say, "Oh, we see on your Facebook that you don't like Trump."
Right.
You know, that's an invasion of privacy. And is this is this a way of instilling fear to where, you know, that's just one thing with immigration, but also it shows that whatever people was doing or posting on social media or trying to get any relevance or change, the government likes to put fear. And they also, there's been assassinations. So as a leader that have witnessed this, you know, or people are going to be scared to want to make a change, because look what happened to all the real, genuine leaders we had.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly. And this is
Let me add one more thing. Yeah, go ahead quickly.
Okay. Like, ever since the inauguration, we've seen a rash of anti-Muslim movement that has been going on here in the United States. And you know what? That there has been incidents of Muslims getting threatened and, of course, of mosques being set ablaze. None of that makes it to the news. There's been a lot of anti-Muslim attacks that's been going on throughout the nation that's not being reported.
Well, we always knew that, before I get to the other quarter, and the media picked and choose their story. Like, perfect example, Keisha Sean, we talk about the murder that, Sean, what was that story? The people that got killed?
It was a Craigslist gun sale that went bad. And two 16-year-olds killed two black men. And their bodies were cut up, dismembered, and tied to cinder blocks and covered with tarp.
Mm-hmm.
And this story didn't break until over the weekend. And there was attention to it, but nowhere near the amount of attention that you would think it would deserve.
Well, no, because everybody was too busy to talk about Kanye West. Well, other than that,
was too busy.
Mm-hmm. Let me get to Phil now. Phil, you on the air?
Hey, Phil,
what's up,
man?
Boys?
Hey, what's going on,
man?
My man.
I've been listening to the show and everything, and everybody makes a lot of valid points, but, you know, the bottom line is racism, it's not going to go away anytime soon. It's been here before just about all of us were born, and I'm sure it'll still be here after we're all gone. And you can do anything.
In other words, it's never going away. It's not going to go away
anytime soon. And we can all try to make a difference, you know, with everything being united, you know, especially in this country, you know, we should be united, especially when we know out there in the world, I'm sure a lot of other countries and groups and nationalities hate this country.
Mm-hmm.
And,
especially
you know. Oh,
please.
Oh, here goes Rodney running his mouth.
Oh, my goodness.
But in all seriousness, it's not going to go away. I mean, look, Jewish people, you know, you guys know I'm Jewish. We've been discriminated since God knows when. I mean, not just here in America, but you go outside of the United States. We're hated. So
okay.
You're not lying about that.
It's funny you brought that up, Phil, because that's my question towards everybody, especially, I'll start with Shirley first. Last week we talked about Kanye West, because, you know, off his statement, if slavery was a choice, you know all that jokes that's going on. What happened if you believe, if Kanye West said, if the Holocaust was a choice? How do you think people will have reacted to that? Shirley, then
Phil.
Phil should go first, because
I have some things to say.
Okay, so Phil, go first. All right, Phil, go ahead.
Okay, the Holocaust, I don't know. Kanye West, first of all, is a nut job. I don't know how the hell he still survives in society, but being that as it may, the Holocaust was not a choice. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Hitler was looking for a scapegoat after World War I. That's when this all started. Hitler was looking for a scapegoat, and he said, you know how we're going to turn everything around? Let's blame the Jewish people. And that's when the Holocaust started, the uprising.
Oh.
Hitler was smart to talk to his people. And he knew after World War I, you know, Germany, you know, was defeated. And he was the one that came up and said, you know what? Let's blame the Jewish people. It's because of them we're in the state that we're in. I mean, but
okay.
The guy was nuts, too.
Shirley?
Okay. So if I strongly believe, and I'm glad that we're all respecting people's opinions. If he would have said, he would have brought up the Holocaust, all hell would have fucking broke loose. Why? Because, you know, there's a lot of Jewish executives. They run the media. They run the entertainment industry. So they would have been like, oh, we need to keep his fucking ass up. You know, slavery is slavery. Everybody wouldn't just go by and listen to and go, okay, yeah, y'all suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime I know, and I'm just saying that because of growing up in New York, the deep emphasis brought on the Holocaust, it would have been a much bigger attack towards him.
Basically, because it would be off with his head if he had said something.
Exactly, he would be executed.
And I'm not saying that with no disrespect to anyone that is Jewish, but we got to keep it all the way 100. A lot of Jews run the entertainment industry, so it is, you know, and even I believe, you know, like even music, Netflix. I think Netflix. I know I see a million things about the Holocaust on there, so I don't know. Or something with the Nazis.
Okay, so what was your reaction when he said slavery was a choice before I go to the other people? What was your reaction at first?
My reaction was I was disgusted by what he said. However, I felt that he had a different point. It's just he chose his words very poorly. Very poorly. It's like, I guess because I like to really listen and be on both sides, I feel that what he was trying to say was, where were all of the revolutions? When there was over 300 revolutions during the slave period.
Yes, there were.
You know.
All right.
So, but I don't think he has that much education or elaboration of those revolutions. I think he needs to get some deep... And also, it's because this is the way it all started, like slavery, from what they say, that Africans sold each other.
when the slave trade first began.
Oh, they throw that a lot. They do throw it.
Well, Tisha, why do you think people are still talking about Kanye's statements after a week later?
Why should we still be talking about Kanye's? This is Kanye West, number one. I want to go back to everything that we said in the show and just sum it up with Kanye West. He's an example of what white America thinks of us, the ignorance, the thing that comes out of our mouth. And I'm sorry, but we're feeding into it. He was used as the face to come out in our reactions, and we gave him that. We gave him the time. We're speaking on Jews. Harvey Levin is a Jew. Doesn't he own that show? He brought Kanye West on there to act like a moron. You know he's not in the right state of mind right now. So he was used. He was used as the Trump red hat, but the black person wearing the red hat. So we get back to Black Lives Matter and things like that. How do you destroy Black Lives Matter? Don't broadcast the things that they are doing. Let's stop broadcasting that unless it's a big issue. Then we'll broadcast it. Yeah. That's how you turn around and you continuously destroy or help to destroy the black community. Like you said, Cheryl, with how they destroyed the Black Panthers and put the drugs in the community and spread forth. So we have the way that we stick together is no different than how we would have stick together during Martin Luther King time. You understand what I'm saying? One of those congressmen that's still alive, I keep forgetting his name. I think it's
John Lewis.
Right.
Yeah, John Lewis.
He got hit over
John
his head when he was 18 years old protesting. He's still alive till this day fighting for us. And these are the things that we have to say. So when we say black lives don't matter, it matters. It still matters. It's how you want it to matter. Are you going to give up on it? I don't see Colin Kaepernick giving up on it. I'm sorry I'm sounding like a preacher with a hoarse voice, but listen, please don't get me started.
No. Go on.
You want to fight for
Floyd?
Hold on. My chest is hurting me right now. Oh, gosh, you're killing my chest. Oh,
you guys can take the floor from here.
No, okay, I think he made a great point. If you're going to fight for
something,
a lot of people look for acknowledgement. That's the problem.
Oh,
okay.
If you're about doing
thing,
something, you do it.
Here's
okay,
what I got to say.
And you keep doing it. That's my point that I'm making.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I'm glad you made that point.
Go ahead, K-Dog. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's the problem that I have with certain leaders. And you know what? I'm glad that we talked about John Lewis. John Lewis is a well-respected freedom fighter man. And, you know, I respect that man. I don't care what anybody says. People say things about him. I've heard a lot of negative things about him. But he was one of those leaders in the front lines of the battle for civil rights. And you got to give that man a lot of credit, because you look at this man, you see the scars on his head. He bears the scars from a battle. And the problem that I have is this, is that you have a bunch of leaders out there who are not keeping it real. That's the problem that I have with certain leaders. They're only there when the cameras are there. They're not there when the cameras are not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay,
they want to be there when the cameras are there. That's when they want to talk. But other than that, what else do they do?
Sean Black. I have to give it to Sean Black now. Sorry.
I like what everybody has said at this particular point as far as these points go, but the main point, the main sticking point is, I think, with African Americans today, and I think this is the criticism that they get, is that once they have momentum for a movement, the momentum always stalls somewhere. There's usually an obstacle thrown in the middle of it before progress is made. Remember, it wasn't all that long ago that blacks couldn't vote. It wasn't all that long ago that black people couldn't work. They had to sit in the back of the bus, et cetera, et cetera. But there had to be some sort of movement to get it going, to get it moving forward. We've gotten now to the Black Lives Matter movement, and that movement seems to have stalled somewhat. So now, what's the next step? And I think that's what a lot of people are kind of searching for, trying to find out what's going on. The Kanye West thing, they're trying to bottom line it. I think personally that Trump, in his conceited bubble that he lives in, thinks that the Kanye West situation is his avenue to getting more African-American voters to his side, to help him along with his campaigning going forward. because he said at the NRA rally that, oh, African Americans, are their ratings towards me are increasing because of Kanye West's support, and they think that that's what the case is. That's not the case. And if Kanye actually thinks that that is really what's happening, then we might as well name him Boo Boo the Fool, because he's going to be looked at as somebody that's being used and then thrown away. And I think if that's the case, they're helping each other out.
Okay, if you hear that noise in the background right now, that means Brother B is on the air right now. Brother B.
What up, Brother B?
Yo, what up, yo? Yo, that's not right. Listen, I gotta work. I gotta work, man.
Hey, man, we hear the noise in the background.
Right there.
I'm trying. You see how black people tear each other down? See, a brother trying to go to work, but at the same time, I'm trying to support. All right? I'm on the move. I could be in the bathroom.
Making those moves.
I could be in the bathroom, Hot Rod. I could be in the bathroom.
That's another sound effect I don't think we need to hear.
Exactly. Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Thank you.
What up, brother?
What up? How you doing? Listen, I agree very much with what Sean Black said. We get distracted. You know why? Because a lot of times we're easily fooled. You know what I'm saying? Like, all it takes is a little bit to get us turned off from doing what we need to do for ourselves. Because sometimes we don't even know what we need to do for ourselves. Some of these movements are not organized. They're scatterbrained, and they're put together out of emotion. Like, nobody's really thinking off the top. They're just all about go get, go get, go get. Like the thing with Bill Cosby. Everybody wants to jump on the Bill Cosby bandwagon. Everybody now wants to jump on R. Kelly. But once again, no peep from the Harvey Weinstein. No peep. And he's the main reason. He's one of the main reasons why the Me Too movement that was started by a black woman got jumped off by the white woman. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand. How is it that a black woman started it in 2006, but yet in 2017, all of a sudden it went viral? You see what I'm saying? Yep. We don't take stuff and claim it, and we don't go forward hard. We need to press on it hard. The same way that we go hard on standing in line in front of Foot Locker to go buy some goddamn Jordans, or going hard talking about your favorite seafood restaurant or whatever, or your favorite song, we don't go hard. And in terms of Kanye, listen, he's going to be a pawn. He's allowing himself to be a tool, because you know what? You don't hear him saying anything about Chicago. You want to change the world? Change the world from your side first, so everybody can see what you're about, and then they can jump on your bandwagon. Because injustice started out first for the indigenous and then us. But meanwhile, nobody's doing anything. Nobody's really saying anything. Civil rights movement was what, 50 years ago? And where are we at now? We think we got progression. Why? Because we got some clothing lines. What's up? Because we got a couple of pairs of sneakers. Because we got some basketball and NFL players. Listen, they're always changing the narrative. Colin Kaepernick stood up for one thing. They turn around and switch to something else. We need to stop allowing ourselves to be distracted, and we need to press hard. Because you know what? If you keep being scared of the person that's giving you here's a piece of fish to eat, even though you can go out there and get it yourself, you're going to stay scared. And you got to go out and get it.
I have a question. Let me follow up on what he said. Okay, so everything you were saying, everything I was thinking is you were saying, and I want to add on, okay, 50 years ago was the Civil Rights Movement, right? Now, the Civil Rights Movement, you had leaders and people together was with the utmost strength, unity, and sincerity, because they were fighting for things that they didn't have the liberty at the time. So now we're 50 years later, and what they fought for, extremely hard for, we
take for granted
to a certain extent.
Exactly.
So because we don't take, we have those luxuries that were not luxuries to them then. This is why shit is not moving the way it needs to go.
Okay, Toby. So I hate when I do this to myself. Brother B, Shirley, Phil, Tisha, Sean, you made this show phenomenal.
Hey, what about K-Dog, man?
I'm sorry, and K-Dog.
y'all forgetting about me now, huh?
I'm still laughing about Brother B. Guys, thanks so much for
the show tonight. Hot Rod, if I can lastly say, We need to, we right now something's going on, and we need to not let the divide become in between the black male and the black woman. Simple
as
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a fact.
And as far as Kanye West goes, it's kind of hard to fight for your neighborhood when you're living behind a gated community.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And screw Kanye West, he's the modern, he's the modern day Stephen Fetchett. Next.
Okay, on that note, good night, everybody, and the pleasure was
good night.
Good night. And
later,
have a great Mother's Day, everybody.
Have a great Mother's Day, lady.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Peace out.